You've entered the Kill Zone.
The Kill Zone.
Frontline Gaming presents the Kill Zone Podcast. Real talk for competitive Kill Team 40K. Tactics. Strategy. And news you need to know from some of today's top players. Tune in every other week for brand new episodes of the Kill Zone Podcast.
Like Andrew just said, you have entered the Kill Zone. Welcome back, returning listeners, and those of you new to the podcast. This is Spearnet 40K, and I'm joined by Emmanuel Mitsinikos from Strategic Advantage on YouTube. We've got a great episode coming up for you today.
Oh yeah, and in more than one way, the universe of Magic the Gathering and Warhammer have teamed up. So we're going to talk about their interesting way that they've coined to look at player profiles. You have a profile. And that profile will help you understand what makes you happy, what you want from the game, and we're going to talk about it today.
Awesome. So stay tuned because all that and more is coming your way after you pay some bills with these messages.
Ooh, ooh!
Oh, the monkey's back. Hey, Mooney.
Whoa, where'd you get that hat? And the eye patch?
And he's green.
Woo! Woo! What?
And that little guy is gone, but he did give us a treasure chest. What did he say when he left, by the way?
I don't know if this is me wanting him to have said it, but it sounded like a wah.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Let's crack this open then. Oh boy, it's an anchor and orc heads. Wow, did Mooney just take out an entire boarding party of orky pirates?
Remind me never to upset Mooney. But taking a look at these look absolutely fantastic. I think I can actually use these to make a brand new Galadark-themed orc commando team.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. There's a note here. It says, "Hey, Kill Team and Kill Zone fans, the monkey has been working hard to get this out to you all in time for the gorkiest or morkiest month of the year, Orktober."
What? Give me that. It goes on to say, "This kit here is perfect to upgrade your Monopose new Orc Boys kit into a pirate boarding party of orcs with all the equipment, bits, and bobs necessary to run them as the Commandos Kill Team."
Oh, that's super cool. So instead of using the Commandos kit, which everyone has, you not only can use the Orc Monopose boys, but also turn them into Commandos and pirate ones at that. That's seriously some cool stuff.
Yeah. So head over to popgoesthemonkey.com and check out the Brew Guzzlers Buccaneers kit. I'm really excited to get my hands on these bits, so follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is eman.paints, so you can check out my progress. Also, don't forget, the direct link to this kit, as well as a sorcerer upgrade kit for Warpreppin', are going to be in the description.
Thanks again for sponsoring the podcast, Mr. Monkey.
Whoa, this just in. This news is big and came to us hot off the presses. It's so big, I gotta jump into the flow of the podcast to let you in on all this massive news. There was another note at the bottom of the treasure chest from Mooney the Monkey himself. It reads, "Killzone and Kill Team fans, for the month of October, or Orktober, enjoy a big discount on these orc kits. Not only on the Brew Guzzlers Buccaneers kit, but also on the Hogan's Heroes themed Orc Commandos conversion kit called Horkin's Heroes. Order during the month of October, or Orktober, and enjoy a whopping $20 off the whole Brew Guzzlers Buccaneers kit and $10 off the whole Horkin's Heroes kit. But are you just after the bits or the heads? Well, those smaller kits are available too and are also at a discount in the month of October, $5 off of each. Check out all the links in our description below or head straight to popgoesthemonkey.com. Alrighty, let's get back to the pod."
And we're back with some interesting stuff on today's episode. But first, as everybody knows, it's hobby time. What you been up to, bud?
I have been having a grand old time over in the Battle Brothers tabletop Discord. I posted my final Intercessorc team. By the way, the votes are in. It is Intercessorc. There were some Orctercessors. There were some.
All right, I got a couple.
you got a couple, but overwhelming majority of Intercessorcs. And I posted those on Instagram, and Miku Sheep, he's around on the Discords if anyone's anyone's been around the block on the internet, so you might have run into him. He said, hey, you should check this out and submit it on there. I did not know this little corner of the internet existed, and there are so many talented painters, and he's doing him as well as Reese from 3 to Wounds and Russ from GFN Gaming. They have their own podcast, which is a riot. Very Kill Team adjacent. Sometimes you wonder if they're even talking about Kill Team anymore, but it's really fun. I've been enjoying listening to that, but they also do a monthly painting challenge. And I found that was such a great motivator for me to try and get these done without even knowing about the challenge. And if I had a challenge to try and get this done along with the whole community to do that with, it was just really rewarding. I really like seeing all of the other submissions, all the different kit bashes and ideas. And there were two other people that did orcs as intercessors. And one of them, fan of the Killzone podcast, did them because of my idea that I said on here. And he did an absolutely fantastic job. It was so heartwarming to see that my zany ideas provided someone else some inspiration to go with it. That was super rewarding. So as far as my hobby, that was the fun part of my hobby. The unfun part of the hobby is the fact that I had to file the bejesus out of my Into the Dark terrain to get them to have enough tolerance so that way, once everything's painted, they can all slot together.
Yeah.
And it seems super inconsistent, right? Because I have so many reports of people saying that they were fine for me. Mm-hmm. Other people saying, oh yeah, I just had to tape them off. I didn't, as long as there was no paint, they fit together fine. And then other people like me, that mine were just so tight, trying to fit things together even before painting, that I had to file probably about a millimeter off of each side of each of those connections, as well as on the tops where the caps go on, that in order for things to fit smoothly enough so that way I can prime and tape. It took like 10 days of filing, and that's because I have 30 minutes here and there between baby duties. So, but that was all the time that I was a little sad to lose out on painting it. That being said, my paint scheme is going to be pretty quick because I'm also going to be doing, instead of dry brushing the gray, I decided I'm going to airbrush the gray highlights, kind of at a zenithal approach, and then do my color shift paint on top of that. Then paint the doors brass with metal color, Vallejo metal color, which is almost like a contrast metallic. It goes on super, super opaque, but super quickly. And then I'm going to call it for now because I want to get it done to an appropriate standard. And then maybe later I'll go back and pick out some more details. But I think that's what I'm going to do for Into the Dark for now because of how much time it took me to file it down. That being said, I posted an in-progress thing on my Instagram of all the dust shavings all over my hobby space from all of this. And someone said, I wish I had done that. And I'm regretting not doing that. So if you're like me and you test fit, dry fit, and it was tight or maybe a little bit too tight, people are saying they wish they had. Yeah. To dry fit your stuff first to see if you even need to. If it's loosey-goosey and fine, you're good to go. If it's a little tight, you're not going to regret the time you did now because it's going to make it a lot more easier and more enjoyable to play with later.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been building the breachers from the Into the Dark box, and everything fit together wonderfully. There was a couple like seams where the models, because I'm doing the breachers, like where their little cloth, you know, butted up from different parts, where it's like I had to get kind of creative and put the cement in the thing, let that cure, and then like come back and file and stuff like that. And it did good gap filling on there. There was some of that, you know.
That's the exact trick I was going to tell you for gap filling, because for my knobs, they have neck armor. I'm not a huge fan of the neck armor between their shoulder blades because it kind of makes them feel a little too boxy.
Yeah.
It makes them look a lot tougher to have the neck armor. But if you don't put on the neck armor, there's a very obvious seam on the top of their cloth up there, because no focus on fixing that, because you would always cover it with a metal plate as per the instructions, right? But I did exactly what you did, and it's my go-to for gap filling. I've tried liquid green stuff. I hate working with it because you need to do so many coats. All I do is do an abundance of the liquid cement,
yeah,
push it together, and then I just scrape it away like a mold line, and it's always been seamless. So that I wanted to highlight that trick because you said it so quickly, and
I think
a lot of people are going to benefit from that. But there was another trick with the breachers that you did have that you shared with me, and I remember telling you, it's like, you got to tell people about that.
Yeah, so basically what I did is I ended up with two boxes, because here's the issue, guys. When you get this, on your roster, you can have three gunners, right? And you can field two of them. But the models that you get in your box is only enough to do one. So what I did, the best thing that I found, other than like, you know, magnetizing and things like that, if you want the actual model, is you're buying usually two boxes to make your competitive roster of whatever it is anyway, right? So that's what I did. I ended up with a second set of breachers. And the body of the Endurant is basically the same as the body for a gunner as soon as you chop off the little nub that is his connection point to hold his shield. So,
perfect.
That's the only difference, is there's a little nub sticking out. You cut that off, and it's a perfect connection point to make gunner number three, because you'll get your gunner number two from the box as normal, and then gunner number three is the connection. So that's something that hopefully will help you guys out. It's what I did, and I'm just thoroughly satisfied with how that came out.
That's so awesome. So awesome, because I know it's there's woes with people trying to kitbash the Vetguard, right? Because there was a lot of shared bodies and stuff like that, and people having to get a little bit more creative. It's really nice to hear that there's an easy solution if you get to, because that's the only modification you have to do with the two boxes, right?
Yeah, everything else you can just build a stock and you'll be happy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super helpful.
Yeah, awesome. Came out great. And you'll get a second body, so it's like you can have two of your sergeant loadouts and stuff like that, and stuff just WYSIWYG built and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because sometimes you're going to want that shotgun. Sometimes he's gonna want to go choppy.
Yeah, and with my guys, I actually did build four extra shotgun boys, because I do think sometimes, rather than take the two auxiliary little pets, or Power Fist and Axe guy, you could just drop those, bring in extra shotgun boys. It's not going to be every game, but there could be some niche uses where that comes in handy, and so I built up to be able to do that if needed. So that's another thing, and then your second box gets you everything you need to do that. And it's cool because you get some of those second, you know, bodies, so it's not anybody like repeated in pose. You can use some of the bodies that were used to make specialists, you know, to make shotgun boys, because every specialist body also has a shotgun option to just make them a normal boy. So it's cool because you get all these different poses of people with shotguns, you know.
So you can have variety of poses. Thank you for the segue.
Yes.
The last thing I definitely want to talk about is how excited I am about this new kit. So this kit that we talked about in our ad read, I wanted to bring back to it because it's super cool. Mm-hmm. So the kit changed. So to back up a little bit, this is something that the Monkey and we have been working on for a bit of time now, to try and figure out something for Orktober that is unique, but also applicable to Kill Team, but also to tabletop, because freebooters, super popular in 40K, as well as just a very fun aesthetic to have, and they make so much sense in the Gallowdark. But one thing that we wanted to do was to have them have their unique identity, so they didn't just look like orc commandos,
right,
with pirate heads. So the monkey had the greatest idea to use the original boys, not the original boys kit. That is a kit bashing heaven, and you can have a lot of unique faces and poses and all this kind of stuff to make all your orcs look differently. But to use the new boys kit, which is monopose, to give them some more character and some uniqueness. So that way, not only can you have orcs that are pirates, but also a unique orc pirate list to go for the Gallowdark. And it's inspired me to now, if we get a season 3, if we get a season 4 of Kill Team, if I'm still on this commando high, I think I'm just going to try and do a different Kill Team for each season. So we'll see. I might end up with four of the same Kill Team, just with different flavors by the end of season 4, if we're lucky enough to get a 3 and a 4. Right now, we know we have a season 2, so here we are with a new team, new season, right?
Yeah.
But it's really cool to use that. And the best place, honestly, to get the Monopose Orc Boys kit is Frontline Gaming, right? Because they have such great prices on this stuff. And if you're still, I mean, We also saw Warp Coven got a massive buff in the most recent data slate.
Yep.
There's never been a better time to jump on either of these teams, whether you want to have some pirate-themed orcs, or if you wanted to have to enjoy the new buff that the Warp Coven got. I mean, Soul Reaper cannon firing twice. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Great time for either of these teams. It's the greatest time to be playing Kill Team, honestly.
Yep.
Just head over to Frontline Gaming affiliate link in our description. Pick up that Orc Boys kit, pick up just the rubrics box, and then head over to popgoesthemonkey.com, one of those direct links to either of those kits. You can go and pick up some bits to convert either your entire Orc Boys, the new kit, into Commandos, with a bit of Orky influence from the Freebooters, or just take all of those rubrics and really flex as much as you can from that kit and build an entire kill team with three sorcerers by getting that additional kit from Pop Goes a Monkey.
Yep. So you're taking that one box, you're making it into something awesome. And so cool. Yeah, you know, like we've said before, we get a lot of support from Frontline Gaming, a lot of support from Pop Goes a Monkey. And mm-hmm. these two things, you know, or I guess four things go really hand in hand together.
Mm-hmm.
It shows them some love, and it's actually helping your kill team hobby if you want to go check those things out.
Yeah, and if you're planning on bringing either of these teams, yes, these are the only two you're allowed to, Killzone listener, either of these teams to SCO or LVO, be sure to use our link to buy those tickets to SCO and LVO, SoCal Open and Las Vegas Open. Yep, so use our link, buy your tickets through there, help out the pod, but also show Frontline Gaming some love.
Oh, man, it's coming up so soon, SoCal Open. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is, you know, today we're talking about Magic the Gathering. I've actually been playing a little bit. In 2020, lockdown happened. I read an article that said Magic the Gathering is the most complex game and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, challenge accepted. So they had this online version. I downloaded it. It's called Magic the Gathering Arena. And it was like, how long would it take me to get to the top? So I played the thing. I looked at the tutorial thing, like what points of the win condition. And I used all this stuff that I actually talk about. I kind of feel that any 1v1 game can be approached and you can succeed at it with a few of these like principles, right? And so I went through and did that. It took exactly 14 days. It was October 1st through October 15th was the run, got to Mythic. And then now I hadn't touched it in 2 years, logged back on because of all this Warhammer stuff, you know, that's happening. Interested, which by the way, if you guys are listening and you want to send me a Tyranid or Necron copy of those cards, I wouldn't object. I'm not going to say no to either of those commander decks, but you know, I've just been kind of interested in that. And so what's fascinating is the timing of this, because you and I had talked about doing this before all that hype and before all this stuff. So it's just, you know, so cool coming together like this.
Yeah, I'm excited for those new decks as well. Assuming that this Orc Secret Lair deck is actually a full commander deck and not like four cards. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what the Orc Secret Lair deck is when that ultimately does get dropped. But credit where credit's due. I had no idea about the Timmy Johnny Spike stuff until it was brought up by a good friend of ours, Alec, the gentleman of Kill Team, as he's known widely. Fantastic player, fantastic person. And he sent me a link to a video. Vinny Ventura? Ventrilla? I keep forgetting his last name because I want to say Ventrilla.
Vince Ventrilla? That's good.
Vince, there we go. Yeah, him talking about it, and I found it absolutely fascinating, so I told Chris, and he's like, yeah, I know about this. And I was like, this is perfect for Kill Team.
Yeah.
And I think what we can do today is I can give a little bit of an overview of why MTG even did this, where their R&D is, what their motivation was to define these psychogenic profiles, and then strip away all of that business side of it to tell you how you can use this information to help you have more fun and find a different way to find your faction or your playstyle that you're going to really enjoy and keep bringing back to the game. And then I think we can just go back and forth talking about the different profiles, but I also thought it'd be cool at the end to talk about what we are. Because I discovered a lot about myself in learning about the Timmy Johnny Spike thing. So without further ado, before I get into it, any last words?
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, preface this and just say it's an important fact on these that, to my knowledge, it's the fundamental part of how they do R&D over there, right?
Yes.
And so they did surveys, they did focus groups, all this kind of stuff, and realized different people are happy with different things. And I think that that's like what it comes down to. The game should have all the things that make different players happy and gives them the experience that satisfies them. And that's kind of what this can be applied to and why it's kind of cool is because you can know, hey, this is something that I identify with. I'm one of these types or a combination of these types, and know kind of, you know, with a better understanding, like what you get from it and, you know, will enjoy from the game and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's exactly what I was going to kind of launch into, because this, like you said, surveys, all this stuff, MTG, Magic the Gathering, did this with the intent of developing their game so that way people would enjoy it, have fun, but would come back to it, right?
Right.
So it has a little bit of those corporate greebles all over it, right? but when I learned about Timmy, Johnny, Spike, what I saw was like, wow, this explains why orcs are my soulmate faction, right? But this does a much better job at telling me why than I could ever articulate.
Yeah.
And that's where it really jumped out to me.
Yeah, it's actually something I use a lot in coaching. I don't tell people that I'm doing it, but when they first come, I'm trying to find out like what they would be best served with, because like the same tip has different value to different people, right? And so it's like I'm trying to tailor to them, like what are they looking for actually and stuff like that, you know? What is going to lead them to be satisfied and successful? Like, because success can mean different things, and that's an interesting takeaway from this.
And we'll get into that once we talk about each of these profiles. So these are like technically defined as psychogenic profiles. And it sounds like we're labeling people, and that's not what these are. These aren't labels. We're not labeling anyone with this, but it's more of a know thyself kind of moment to see what profile resonates most with you or combination thereof. It's funny that you mentioned that you apply so much of your tabletop wargaming knowledge and experience to MTG, because it's a two-way street, and all these psychogenic profiles are perfectly applicable to any game. I mean, you could apply this to any tabletop game, any CCG, card collecting game, obviously, role-playing games, cooperative role-playing games, like the type of character that you enjoy playing in those combat arenas, very much this. Even like 2D fighters, you had a little bit of effort to kind of make it apply this to Street Fighter, but there's something there. And the three archetypes, they're basically Timmy, Johnny, Spike. I've said this a few times now. It's been updated and changed a little bit, but a lot of the updates and change are more of the R&D side and less of the game playing side. And we're competitive talk for competitive players, real talk for competitive players. I don't even know our own tagline.
That's our tagline. There we go.
But so the main ones to focus on that are going to help out people who are coming to us are Timmy, Johnny, and Spike. Now, we're going to get into a lot of detail on this, but broad strokes. Timmy likes big wins, big plays, big powerful abilities. Johnny likes a challenge, likes an uphill battle, and likes an underdog story. And Spike, simply as put, is a bit of a meta chaser. And that's not a bad thing, but that's what Spike enjoys. Spike comes to win by bringing the meta list, the net list, all that stuff. That's it. That we'll get into that. But what's so cool about this is that the more you learn about something, you're going to be, that's me, that's me, that's me. And you don't even have to figure that out from our podcast. If you just Google Timmy, Johnny, Spike quiz, there's zillions out there that you can just answer a bunch of questions. And it's almost like a Myers-Briggs kind of ENFP thing. You discover what you are. You might be a combination of the three. And they usually list the one that you're, if it's a good quiz, they'll list the one that you resonate most with in the combination first and the least with later. But they'll list both of them if you have enough for multiple profiles. So I've talked enough. Chris, do you want to talk about Timmy?
Yeah, let's start it off. So Timmy is the first one that was actually named by them. When I looked into this, here's an interesting thing. Like you mentioned, Spike is the tourney winning guy. Timmy is actually the power gamer of the three. And it's funny because power gamer is typically associated with somebody who comes in and wants to wreck and stuff. This is the most of that.
Yeah. And that's why combinations are so common with this. Sorry to interrupt. Combinations are so common with this. And also, one thing that I read that I'll bring back to when I talk about Johnny is that you can be someone who wants to podium or win a tournament out of any of these profiles.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just that you're trying to get there in different ways, right?
Correct. So, you nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they mean different things, like your measure of success. So the Timmy likes big. That's the easiest way to phrase this. So it'd be like big monsters, big models, big wins by a lot of points. He likes to impress his opponents, and I think that that's an interesting thing. It's like the wow factor, you know, that they come in with and they try and do stuff with. It's like something that I just think back on in my games, and I've seen this thing, you know, coming from people. But gets excited by things like custodies, for example. Like, oh my god, look at these hecking chonkers with 6 to 7 wounds, you know, or 6 to 7 damage on each shot, 18 wounds. They think, like, my opponent will never be able to stop these. And then it's like, oh, I'm so excited for this big, scary, you know, awesome thing. And that's, like, the fulfilling thing, the why of why they would take it and, you know, put these on the board. These guys aren't typically happy with one-point wins, which is an interesting thing. It's like, because some of this I really identify with. But with that, it's like not happy with one-point win. It's like, oh, I will take them all day. To me, those are the best games, right? Some of those are the best games that you'll ever have where it's like, ah, like you barely pull it out. You know, you're you're like the football player reaching for the finish line or whatever, the touchdown line with a football tip. You barely get it in there. It's just, I don't know, so cool. But interestingly, does not need to win every game. The actual Wizards metric, they say that they are happy with 3 out of 10 wins. So they'll lose 7 games, win 3, and they're happy if they got to do the thing and win big in those games.
Interesting.
Yes. So, you know, a lot of this is just the fact that they're motivated by fun, you know? Yeah.
And does that mean that even in the games they lose, if they do some big play in that game, they're happy even in the loss? Is that what that means?
Yeah, I think we could extrapolate that, you know.
It's like interesting.
They got to do their, you know, 7-8 crazy damage. They get to walk away with a story, because a big part of it for these guys is social, you know.
Interesting.
They really like the social thing. They're motivated by playing with friends and having a story afterwards of this big crazy thing that happened, you know. Interesting term is something called Timmy traps. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So a Timmy trap is a term that I first heard from a Magic the Gathering player that started playing Kill Team a while back. And we were talking about whether something was good or not. And he goes, oh, that's a Timmy trap. And I was like, what the heck is that? But it turns out that it's used to describe a potential pitfall of this archetype. And so what it is that Timmy gravitates towards exciting rather than economical. So you'll see things that, you know, what this could mean is like powerful as hell, but slow, or really, really killy, but also really, really fragile, you know? And so there's these things that the desire to win big also kind of creates like all in plays or builds that can just go wrong, you know, if that makes
interesting.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I can see, like, as you're telling me, because for our listeners, we each read surfacey kind of stuff, and Chris knew a lot about this, but I said, you know what? I'm only looking up Johnny and I want to learn the rest from you. And as you're saying all this stuff with Timmy, I'm like, oh yeah, checkbox. That's really cool.
What's one of the things that's interesting here is when you see these in coaching, they're there to up their win rate with the specific thing because of this glass cannony aspect or the all in play or something like that. They're trying to get to do that thing more, which is a very fascinating thing. You know, they're coming in and it's like, what can I do to make this more reliable? Like, they found the thing, they're doing their thing, but now it's like, okay, like you said, anybody can want to win with their thing. You know, maybe they started getting into tournaments and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, how do I make this more reliable or something like that?
Interesting.
You know? So that's cool. That's an interesting point there is, you know, the difference in that.
So that's interesting. You said that's a perfect segue into talking about Johnny.
Absolutely.
Unless you had more to say about Timmy. Okay, cool.
Nope. Tell us about John.
John.
Who's Johnny?
Yeah. Here's Johnny. He likes to win. He likes to win. They like to win, but kind of on their own terms. And the most important thing to Johnny is creativity. Or proving something with the list that they bring. So they kind of view it as a personal challenge, like whether it's an underdog list, like playing something off meta. We talked about this without even realizing it's talking about the joys of playing off meta. You can prove that you can pilot something that people say isn't as good, and podium with them by that's totally a Johnny thing.
Yeah.
And me hearing my excitement about playing off meta in the past, check out that if you haven't, listeners. It's so funny seeing my enthusiasm was just me showing my Johnny.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. Showing my...
Stop showing your Johnny to our listeners, Emmanuel. Jeez.
Sit back down. I know it's hot there, but put that Johnny away. So showing my psychogenic profile has a lot of Johnny in it.
Yes.
We're just going to stop saying Johnny. But it's also showing their creativity through the list that they bring or the army that they bring. Now, there's not a lot of list building in Kill Team. Mm-hmm. Fourth edition, 2021.
Yes.
There's not a lot of list building in this, save for a few different armies out there. And a lot of people are just like, I don't have my list building. I feel like I lost something. And those are a lot of the Johnnies talking, right? Yeah. Because they found the creativity of bringing the list that was like, oh my goodness, this is a list that's uniquely mine. This is something that is, this is something that no one's seen before. And this is my Blackstone Guard, right? Mm-hmm. This is my whatever it was from last edition, right? So a lot of people lost that, but there's still a lot of that in Kill Team now. Like one perfect example is that when I was playing Commandos right at the drop, the meta thing to do was double dynamite, put one on your knob, put one on your Daka boy. Mm-hmm. I came into that saying, I'm going to win not using dynamite.
Right.
I came into that. I went to SoCal and I did not choose dynamite at all. That was me wanting to win and on my own terms, mm-hmm. right? Or for my co-host here, everyone's using marker lights. No one is leaning so hard on that grenade alpha.
Yeah.
You say, no, that's my jam. I know marker lights are good. They're proven good. So many people have consistent success with it, but these grenades, mm-hmm. this is my creativity. This is what I discovered. This is what I want to win with. So that's you showing a little bit of your Johnny.
I've got some Johnny in me.
And that's what I was seeing as I was reading this. I was like, I'm seeing that not only myself, but in people that I play with, kind of like how you were mentioning, like you see some Timmy creeping out of people as you're playing them or as you're coaching them. And some of Johnny is completely non-competitive. Mm-hmm. I saw it in how I approached making my teams. I want to have my orc teams, but I want them to feel unique. I want to have an intercessor team, but on my own terms with my orcs. And even the hobby aspect can be part of your psychogenic profile, because I would not have as much fun playing intercessors as they are prescribed to be built, intercessor and assault intercessors buying the kits. I would not have as much fun piloting them, same exact rules. Mm-hmm. But since they're orcs, they're my team. I'm bringing my creativity through my kit bashes and my color schemes and all that. That gives me more, that brings me back to the game and brings me more joy in playing the game. Mm-hmm. So the Johnny thing, it's all about that underdog list, playing something off meta or low meta, your own creativity, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. Or the final thing is having a gimmick or a special trick and seeing it go off. I noticed in myself, if someone squashes my dynamite breach of play or squashes some cool forward deploy sniper thing and it doesn't get to do its thing, or if the dice just give me all ones and twos, right? It almost feels crushing to me.
Yes.
And in games that I lose, but my cool little gimmick actually worked, I'm not as crushed.
Yeah.
And that's totally the Johnny part of it too, because my gimmick went off. Like if you win a game, but your grenade yeet didn't go off, it's not as satisfying to you as winning a game and your gimmick went off. I'm speaking for you, but you disagree if that's not true, but is that true for you?
No, it's definitely true. Like I feel so happy like getting to do my thing that was different, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's because you were allowed the opportunity to demonstrate your creativity through your gimmick going off.
Yeah.
So that's the whole that's Johnny in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
So tell me about Spike.
Ooh. Okay. Spike, interesting fact on Spike. Spike wasn't always called Spike. Spike was actually just called Tournament Player at first. So and it was the second profile. There was the Timmies and then there was the Spike, basically. And like the Johnny, it was interesting. It was the guy who made this was like, wait, I don't fit into either of these. You know? And that's how that's how the Johnny came about.
That's fascinating.
But yeah, the Spike is a competitive player. He plays to win. He plays the meta teams. You know, what's best right now? Like net lists? Fine. No problem with that. You know, whereas the other guys might actually have a problem with that. But yeah, the enjoyment is playing comps, winning comps. You know, winning games is like the best thing. The quantity of games is like, and the wins on that is greater than game quality. Like if it's a turn one concede or something like that, totally fine. Doesn't matter, you know, something
interesting.
They will take that and be happy with it and chalk it off. And it means just as much as a hard fought battle or something to that effect.
That's so fascinating because those turn one concedes make me super sad.
Yeah.
Like I feel guilty. Like I did something mean when my opponent's like, that's it, I'm done. I was like, oh, but can we have fun and do our fun things on the board? That's so fascinating.
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
It's the fundamental why is achieved, you know, how that got there didn't matter as much. So yeah, this is most serious archetype of the three. You'll see them, you know, like they can be social and have friends and things like that, but they're there to win, you know, they're there to get revenge on that last thing and show you like, you know, that Alex Mech, I'm going to get you for that, that win that happened. And, you beat me by the 2 points. It's like, you're going to learn today. You know, that's kind of the Spike thing. Unhappy if he wins 9 out of 10 games and feels that he could have or should have won that last one. Very interesting.
Interesting. Because,
like we talked about with Timmy, happy with 3 wins out of 10 or whatever. Hey, fine. I got to do my thing. I'm happy. These guys can do a full sweep, you know, end up winning the tournament, but it's like, oh, that first game, I should have won that. It stains the entire run for them.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they lost that game too, even if they won the tournament. That's one of the things. Again, I'll hammer that home. Even if they won the tournament, if there was an earlier loss or something like that, they don't feel as good about it. Because it's like, like that this, it's a failure at that point, you know?
Interesting.
The fundamental why did not happen.
Interesting.
One of the things that's interesting about these guys is when you see them in coaching, they're there to get there and get better fast. A lot of times it's somebody who's like less interested in the philosophical aspects as they are about cheese. Like, I feel that these guys tend to want like beardy tactics and stuff.
And that totally makes sense when you kind of couple that with, okay, well, things change on a dime. We get a new balance update. Mm-hmm. We get a new balance patch. Novitiates get tanked. Not tanked. They got balanced appropriately, I think. Mm-hmm. But whole nother conversation on the data slate we could have. But they're aware that the game is in flux. So they just like, okay, this is the team. I have it built. I'm ready to play. Tournament now. Let's go. Let's get in before something happens. So that makes total sense when you think about them as kind of being a tournament grinder kind of perspective. I'm taking the current meta. I need to succeed with this meta right now. So that makes a lot of sense when you think about it from that perspective.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they like to have that understanding of the why something's winning, I think, a lot of times is a interesting thing on them. And like I said, they want hacks. A lot of times, one of the interesting things that I've seen is them coming to know something that I've done so that they can do it too. Like, wait, how did you do X, Y, and Z? Or something? How are you doing those 21-inch grenade yeets? And, you know, something like that. And the most common is wanting to know how to beat that one faction that's been standing in their way for something. So it's like, this thing's going to give me a hard time. What the heck are we doing about this thing here? So that's the three covered. What I want to know is, who are you, Emmanuel? I know that we talked about a little bit of Timmy, a little bit of Johnny. Would you say that you blend?
So I did not think I would have any Spike in me. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I didn't take a quiz. I wanted to kind of gut check after our discussion today. Mm-hmm. I knew Johnny after I read the kind of summary of these things, I knew I was going to be super in on Johnny. And that's definitely my profile. I think I'm a blend of all three. I think there's a smidge of Spike though. Because I thought I was only going to be Johnny Timmy. I thought that was going to be me. I find close games stressful, but I find them the most rewarding. You kind of alluded to this too. So that steers me away from Timmy. Mm-hmm. But the big point spread, I actually feel a little guilty about. Because I feel like I ruined my opponent's game by not letting them do their thing. Because I'm projecting... Oh no, I'm going to say I'm projecting my Johnny into them.
Stop putting your Johnny into people. Jeez. You're trying to play some kill teams. For the love of God.
Well, let's finish the podcast real quick because I think I hear the police sirens coming. But but I digress. I project my sense of satisfaction from the game of being able to do my things. When you typically have a big point spread, it's because you shut down your opponent. So I usually feel bad about those big point spreads. So a little bit less timid, but I do like the big plays. Yeah. I do like it when the DACA boy gets to reroll a ton of dice into a bunch of fives and sixes and kills a three-wound guardsman. He didn't need any of that, right?
Yeah.
He didn't need any of that, but that big overkill, that big moment, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, you needed two. Congratulations, right? It's like, it doesn't matter. I overcommitted because it was a big play. Yeah. So there's the Timmy coming in there, but I'm not a meta chaser. Anyone who's seen me try to shift teams, I always end up coming back to Commandos, who have been drifting down the meta and down the meta and down the meta. I always end up coming back to Commandos because I feel that that's where most of my creativity is with the team, with how I approach it and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't think there would be any spike because I just thought it was just meta chasing, but I do perseverate on the one loss. But because I perseverate on what I could have done differently. It's more of like a self-reflection. Like I won 9 out of those 10 games. I walked away winning that tournament, but I really shouldn't have done this on that game. I lost that game because I did this. I did this. I missed this opportunity. I misread my opponent's intentions. I forgot this secondary that they told me that they had. And then they got a 2-point swing right at the end. Like, I will perseverate on that because I look inward for that kind of self-improvement, self-reflection thing. So I think that there's a little bit of spike, a little dash of salt, a spike onto my Johnny Timmy sandwich here.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually had a hard time like saying, you know, which of these I would be. If I had to pick one, I would say I identify most with Johnny because I do look for the challenge in construction and making weak things good. And taking something already powerful, like to the stars. Like one of the big things that made me say, yep, it's Johnny, is the inserting identity into build and having that be such a key.
I think this is the first time on this podcast where we're agreeing on something. Yeah, where we're the same person. We're always different.
We're always different.
I think this is the first time that, and it's so interesting because of how we both got to Johnny is going to be different, but I just wanted to call that out. That got me really excited. Anyway, go back.
No, it's just that the army is self-expression, you know, and it's things nobody else uses. Like there's so much of that throughout my history as a player. Like winning alone isn't as satisfying as winning with unique and innovative for me. Like that's
interesting.
That's I like the experience of like focusing in on one mechanic personally and just like geeking out on the possibilities for it. Like a good example right now would be Gene Stealer Cult, because I think that there's something there for like all that stun that they have, right? Like they have all this stuff that nobody's done anything with it. Like people just focus on the good stuff, the agents, the cult ambush, stuff like that. But it's like, man, you've got this thing everywhere. What could be done with it? And it's something that, like, I play these other things, but I keep going like, what could I do with Gene Stealer Cult and stun? You know? And it's like, don't look at it. I'm going to go down a thing. Like one of the scary things about the Johnny, in my experience as a Johnny, is the self-delusion that can happen where you come in and you say, this thing's really good. And you focus on the good and you ignore the blind spots that can kind of happen. You
know? Interesting. Is that the Jimmy trap? Or the Johnny trap?
The Johnny trap. Yeah, it's like it can win if, right? That's the trap. That's the Johnny trap. It can win if these things happen. You know, if you do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah happens. And
I'm
then all
super
of a sudden,
guilty of that.
Yeah, and you stop looking at all the ways like, wait a second, if it's only 33% odds of this happening, uh-oh, and it's not like consistent enough sometimes to carry you over finish lines.
That was me in a nutshell in a lot of my early tournament career in Kill Team 2018. I grew out of that by building in contingencies and backup plans and all that kind of stuff out of necessity. But that definitely was my Johnny trap.
Absolutely. And that's why you do see the Johnny in coaching sometimes, is to help bring the idea over the finish line. They're like, okay, I'm doing XYZ with compendium ABC. Like, do you see something I'm missing? Like, what can we do to take this further? You know, and so they come with that original spark, and it's like, all right, let's do this. But I am heavy spike. So if we're talking about what the heck Chris is, I do have that from time to time, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I track win rates versus factions and work up, mm-hmm. you know, like from there. And I'm trying to self-improve that. I focus on improving in general, which in the end of the day, that's more wins, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's the goal of that. Like, Last Ed, it's funny because a lot of meta stuff that ended up being really good started out as Johnny Wankery. Like, I'd mess with something or whatever, and then it's like, holy mm-hmm. crap, 14 shield drones. You know what I mean? That becomes, like, the problem build that just starts out as just ridiculousness, you know? But mm-hmm. One of the things where I blend is I take a meta thing and tweak it, mm-hmm. right? So, like, this is really good. Let's adjust that. Or I meta approach and apply it to something else. Like, for example, this Ed, it was playing against Chris Bakke, seeing how he did his grenade stuff with his 14 vet guard list and saying, oh, I can do that with Tau. And right. and trying to make it stronger than the vet guard would be able to do that.
So would you say that you're Spike first, then Johnny, or Johnny first, then Spike? Because I was going to guess Johnny first mm-hmm. because the Spike bleeds into Johnny, not the other way around,
right.
the way that you're describing it.
Yeah. It's like trying to be a harder Johnny, I guess.
Yeah. And I, when you were telling me about Timmy, I didn't see much Timmy in how I know you as a player. Are there aspects of Timmy that I'm missing that you feel you resonate with?
I do like all-in plays. See, and that's the thing that makes me wonder is I don't know if it's the Spike or the Timmy aspect, you know, because Timmy is all about all-in plays. But I'm doing that to win the game. So it's like, which one, you know?
Interesting.
And it is like on meta and on thing. Like, it's not a not going to work, you know, 7 out of 10 times or something like that. Like, this is going to work. Like, that's the thing. So I'm confused on that, but I would have to say there's got to be at least a little Timmy in me.
Yeah. And with that said, closing remarks before we run from the cops.
I was going to say an interesting example of one faction appealing to all three types. Because I was thinking, what is something that we could do to, like, okay, it's the same team, but how every person's going to get something different. So, as mentioned, Timmy, I talked about, would see Custodes and the high durability, the high damage, and big cool models and go, yep, uh-huh. for me. Uh-huh. Right? The Spike would have seen in the very early days of 2.0 that these had the highest win rate and gone all uh-huh. in for that reason, right? Whereas the Johnny would see that and go, wow, nobody's playing all these sisters. I'm going to spam these and do faceplates. So same faction.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and it's like how the different people, why they would like them, why they would play them, what they'd be doing with them, you know, would be a little bit different there.
And let's fast forward to now. I think Intercession also fits all three of these as well. Because you got the big guns. You could beef up someone with the blessed rounds, the scope. You could have the big plays. You also have big Chungus, all these guys that are really hard to shift. The Johnny can say, oh, I'm going to approach it a little differently. I'm going to go with these chapter tactics, or I'm going to go with all intercessors or all assault intercessors or this, that, and the other. There can be some creativity there with how you go, or they can feel, oh, finally a way to represent my blood angels. I'm going to build out blood angels and give them the chapter tactics that are appropriate. Or then finally, Spike, because they're really good right now.
Right. Just be like, oh, nobody can really handle these or whatever. Like, if you got to do a very specific thing or you're in trouble. So, yeah, that's why they went in. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. I've been Chris. I'm Beernid on YouTube. If you type Beernid40K, you can find my stuff.
And I've been Emmanuel. You can find me on my Instagram at eman.paints. And you could find me on YouTube with Alex on Strategic Advantage.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Send me some of them cards.
Thanks for listening to the Killzone Podcast. Your home for real talk for competitive kill team. Brought to you by the Frontline Gaming Network. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.